Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Wednesday, the 23rd day of March, 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. We have James Corbett joining us from Japan. You know, he's been a frequent guest on this broadcast. He is a news journalist and researcher with his own TV program. Also, Aaron Dykes will be joining us in studio in the last 30 minutes because we did successfully dig up that 2008 interview I did almost 4 years ago with the director of HARP. And the thing is a complete whitewash. And I had remembered the Army, the Air Force colonel coming on and cutting him off, but he did that in a break and they cut the interview short. Then I come back from break and say, well, they cut the interview short and basically didn't allow it to continue. But I'm going to try to get that current director of HARP, our research shows he's still the director, back on yet again. Because Aaron, after refinding the audio yesterday of the 35-minute interview, reposted it on Infowars.com and did some research on the interview with the guy denying things on the broadcast that he had admitted to in other interviews or that the Pentagon had admitted to previously. So we're going to be looking at HARP in the last 30 minutes of the third hour today. So that is all coming up. Again, I want to thank you for joining us. We're going to get into the unraveling coalition of the willing with the whole Libya situation. Also, video has surfaced of then-Senator, now Vice President Joe Biden, involved in a town hall meeting and then subsequently on MSNBC with Swineball Chris Matthews, talking about impeaching a president if they unilaterally launch military attacks on countries that hadn't attacked us first, and that it was unconstitutional. Now Obama has gone even further than Bush, because Bush did get a resolution of force from the Congress. It was not a declaration of war. It was still unconstitutional. But comparatively, and you know I was a big enemy and of those preemptive illegal genocidal wars, I was a big person for peace. But at the same time, what Obama has done has gone even further, because in less than 48 hours after the UN resolution, he didn't even consult Congress. He didn't try to get a resolution, nothing. He launched those operations from the cruise missiles off of the missile cruiser ships, from the aircraft F-15s, E and others flying around. And a lot of people, a lot of conservatives and liberals across that controlled political spectrum are pointing out that it was unconstitutional because he didn't get any type of congressional approval. Congress passes the laws, orders the wars, the president executes it as the executive. But the Congress represents we the people, the shareholders of the republic. We then, through our elected representatives, give orders to the CEO, if you want to use a business analogy, to execute the policies of the board of directors, i.e. the Congress and we the people. But more and more, it is this unelected United Nations itself created by the family that pushes globalism like no other, the Rockefellers, that literally funded and financed the starting of it at the Presidio base there in San Francisco, and then subsequently gave them the land to build the main headquarters in New York City. That is all coming up now, but the biggest news is the radiation cover-up. We're now getting a very clear picture of just how big this cover-up is. Here's the headline out of Japan. RT is also reporting it, but Japanese news confirms this. Radiation levels at Fukushima exceed 1,600 times safe levels.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The Sydney Morning Herald and Fox News, as well as many Japanese newspapers, are reporting that they have had to evacuate the Fukushima 6 reactor disaster site area because of smoke. Now, that's code word for highly radioactive isotopes, uranium, plutonium, tritium, strontium, cesium, radioactive iodine pouring out of the maws, the gaping wounds where four of the reactors, as you know, have blown sky high and had subsequent fires. On screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we do have the Sydney Morning Herald up there. Evacuation at Fukushima plant after smoke seen at reactor. They've confirmed that the reactors are, multiple reactors are boiling and off-gassing extremely radioactive gas directly into the atmosphere and then blowing towards the United States. It was confirmed yesterday in Iceland, multiple radioactive isotopes that have traveled more than 10,000 miles from Japan on its northeast coast, over North America, over the Atlantic to Iceland, set to be arriving in England any time now, and then in the next day over Europe, and then back over the Middle East, Central Asia, East Asia, and back over Japan. So many forecasters estimate that within another week, the radioactive gas, different variants of different isotopes, will have gone all the way around the world. So we're going to be breaking that down, but French news agency also reporting smoke at Japan reactor forces evacuation. Workers were evacuated from part of a stricken nuclear power station in Japan today after dark smoke. That's not steam. That dark smoke means filled with the nasty ingredients that are down on those reactors. Those are the live reactors with the non-spent fuel rods, including one reactor that's plutonium-based. Doesn't get any nastier than that. And remember, plutonium and uranium are very heavy. Most of the stuff that's been coming over here is radioactive gases, radiation attached to what they call noble gases that rise. And so they go up into the upper atmosphere and are blown here. We are getting the lighter stuff. In fact, I wanted to do an illustration. In fact, will you guys get me a glass of water? I'm going to have to pour it on the table in the next segment for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. You see, we're now into how many days since this happened Friday before last? How many days is it? We're talking about 12 days now? 12 days? Yeah, 12 days since this happened. And so you've got radiation pouring out of these heavily damaged four reactors. They say they've stabilized the other two, though they've had some fires there as well. Who knows if what we're being told is true? Counterpunch has a big radiological expert with an article yesterday breaking down that all they've got is one radiation meter a few miles away, and they're just getting basic readings, which show that they're 1,600 times safe levels. But imagine what else is blowing out to sea, and that it takes very specialized devices to not just pick up radiation, that's easy, but to pick up exactly what is being off-gassed. And so now they're reporting the soils as far away as 20 miles from Fukushima are 1,600 times higher than normal levels of radiation. They're putting off 1,600 times more radiation than is considered normal. If you walk up to a rock and you point a Geiger counter at it, you know, it's supposed to be, you're putting off a certain amount of sieverts. It's putting off 1,600 times. That's now all over the Japanese press, all over the Russian press, all over the European press, not in U.S. press, because they just want to tell us out of sight, out of mind. We have a government that detonated more nuclear weapons above ground and atomic weapons than all other countries combined. And they just told us it's healthy. And they trot out Ann Coulter to say radiation is good for you. Why doesn't she then move into the reactor core? If it's so good, why do you think the people running the nuclear power plant in Japan have broken down and cried last Friday saying this is going to kill people? This is lethal dose of radiation. The brave people going in are going to die from this. May take a week, may take a month. It's going to kill them. But who cares what the nuclear physicist says, who's broken his silence and is the plant director? Let's not listen to a nuclear power plant manager. Let's listen to Ann Coulter, who tells us that radiation is good for us. Well, yeah, a little sunlight's good for you. That's a form of radiation. Ultraviolet radiation, not this type of radiation, not even in the same family. But here's the issue. If I had a glass of water here and I poured out a little bit on my table, it wouldn't be much. Then if I poured out a whole glass, it'd be more. Then if I put a fire hose in here, in fact, guys, I'll do this right now on air. Give me a document cam shot right here. 12 days, and we'll have to get some napkins, obviously. We are 12 days into this situation, and there is an entire cornucopia of nasty different types of radiation. You've got the 600,000 spent fuel rods on fire, blown in all directions, huge explosions, ongoing fires. They've had to evacuate again because of smoke. And then they go on to admit radioactive black smoke. This isn't steam, meaning just boiling water. This is so filled with nasty meltdown from live, high-powered, live fuel rods that the workers who are already saying they're willing to die are pulling back. And they're reporting 1,600 times safe levels of radiation. And our Western news media here in the United States is telling us everything is wonderful. So, smoke at Japan reactor forces evacuation. Workers were evacuating from part of the stricken nuclear power station in Japan on Wednesday after dark smoke was seen rising from one of the reactors, the plant operator said. The workers were pulled out of the control room of reactor number 3, said official from Tokyo Power Company told reporters, adding that the source of the smoke was unknown. Though they admitted back last Saturday, 11 days ago, Saturday before last, that they'd had partial meltdowns at least 2. Now it's at 4. And then they go on to talk about the increased radiation levels. They go on to say that we do have abnormal levels of radiation. That's a nice way to spin it. Here's the RT headline from Japan. Smoke forces evacuation at Fukushima reactor. Here is another RT headline. Radiation at Fukushima exceeds norm by 1,600 times. That's from the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, who normally is a big whitewasher, basically financed by the nuclear power industry worldwide. Work has resumed at the Fukushima power plant after it was interrupted for the second time in 24 hours. Restoration work has been underway at the facility to deal with damage caused by the tsunami. You mean the giant explosions? Fox News continues to show pre-tsunami, pre-explosion meltdown footage of totally intact facility. Now, let me explain why they have 1,600 times safe levels of radiation for at least 20 miles around, and some levels even higher in the soil. Because for 12 days, it's been off-gassing every form of radioactive isotope I've ever read about. I mean, it's a laundry list. And so you get the first leak 12 days ago. Go ahead and give me a document cam shot, please. You get the first leak, a little bit. That starts blowing across the Pacific towards the United States over here. This keyboard's the United States. It's North America. So a little bit goes over there. And then you get the Saturday blow up. That's a lot more. And then you get the Monday blow up of the Mark I plutonium reactor. And that'd be about 50 cups of water. But obviously I can't do that and wreck my studio. And then more fires and more explosions. It just keeps going, ah, la, 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 la. And it's all going over here, across the world. And our media is telling us everything's fine. And they're still saying that there's a greater risk from ever of total meltdown of these reactors that will be bigger than Chernobyl at each event. And they admit that Chernobyl circled the Earth in about 14 days and hit the United States and increased cancer rates. But so what? Let's just have Ann Coulter come out and tell us everything's fine. even though the federal government's now having to admit, well, these increased radiation levels might actually hurt children in the U.S. a little because they've got faster growing cells, and radiation, depending on the estimate, is more than 10 times more destructive towards young creatures, whether they be insects or mammals. It doesn't matter because they're developing more quickly. There you have it. See, this is where it all starts in Japan. So why is it 1,600 times stronger in a 20-mile circumference, according to the IAEA, around Fukushima? Because it continues to off-gas, and so you get up 50 times, 100 times, 200 times, 500 times, 1,000 times, 600, 1,600 times, as it continues to build up in the soil. So when they tell you, oh, there's just a little bit of background radiation hitting North America, it's a continued wave, though. You get some one day, more the next day, more after that, more. So at any one time, they can say at first, oh, it's only 25 times, a day after Fukushima, what it should be. Oh, it's only 50. Oh, it's only 100. Oh, it's only 200. Oh, it's only 400. It's only 5,000, 1,600. Because it just keeps piling up, bioaccumulating. And it's going into the ocean, where we get our fish from. Most of the fish we get here in the United States comes out of the Pacific. It's the dominant area. Then the Atlantic, then the Caribbean, and the Gulf of Mexico. The point is, you're not going to see fish testing. You're not going to see people being warned. This stuff builds up. You've got a lifetime average dose of radiation. But the cell phones and the naked body scanners and the nuclear test and the nuclear plants, I mean, they had one last week up in Canada, release a bunch of radioactive isotopes into the lake, and they said, oh, it's only, three or four times safe levels. It's fine. It'll be diluted by the water. Not true. So that's what's going on. That's what's happening. It builds up, and they're just pouring gallons more onto the table.
Man thinks, 'cause he rules it us, he can do with it as he please. And if things don't change,
I think Bob Dylan's saying it better than I can.
For man has invented his doom. First step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman.
Yeah, man thinks that he owns the earth, so he can do with it as he pleases.
As the night grows dim,
the big environmental groups have all been promoting nuclear power over petroleum-based systems. I'm not saying petroleum's perfect, but it's nothing compared to the dangers of radiation. And I was cleaning up the mess I'd made here by pouring a little bit of water on the table, a little more, signifying radiation and how it's going across the Pacific and now already reaching Iceland, soon to reach Europe, and that it continues to build up. And Jaron made the point. He said, well, why even clean it up? If this water symbolizes radioactivity, many of these isotopes last billions of years. So it isn't like water that you can just clean up. It's something that doesn't go away. Another analogy would be the first day, one piece of paper, if it signified radiation, was released in Japan. Then the next day, 1,000 pieces of paper. Then the next day, 1,000,000 pieces of paper. Pretty soon, it's a big stack of paper. And it just continues to pile up in the soil until it is now over. Last night, they said 1,600 times. Now they're saying even higher than that. And it's going to be there for the rest of our lifetimes and beyond, many of these different radioactive isotopes. So that's the point, is that it adds more of this to our environment. But our government knows that it's invisible, just like what did they do with Core Exit? Many times more toxic than the oil itself, the crude oil. So they sprayed millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of gallons of Core Exit on top of the oil slick so that it wouldn't be visible and it would go to the bottom where it could do even more damage. Out of sight, out of mind. See, they couldn't easily hide the oil. They can hide this because it's invisible. And they can lie to you and say, well, the background radiation's only up a little bit in the United States of different Geiger counter readings. But those Geiger counters don't specifically pick up on what isotopes are hitting or the fact that it's then going to continue to land here for as long as these reactors burn and explode and build up. in the soil, in the water, and in our bodies, in the fish we eat, in the beef we eat, in the poultry, in the pork, in the vegetables, in the grains. It bioaccumulates in the soil. It's sucked up by the plants that are then fed to the animals that we eat. And that's why this is so dangerous. So they're having to evacuate the plant again because of more black smoke, radioactive smoke coming out. And the media's answer is to trot out people like Ann Coulter to tell us that radiation is actually good for us. And here is the headline. In fact, we're going to come back from break and play this Russia Today news piece. Radiation level at Fukushima exceeds norm by 1,600 times. And it goes on to report that Fukushima workers managed to connect the first and the fourth reactors of the plant to external power source. That's great news. To help restore the cooling system at the units. Five of the six units of Fukushima plant have been connected to emergency diesel generators, Kyoto News reported. However, the electricity supply to the problematic third unit has yet to be switched back on, the unit that blew up. I mean, do you think even if they connect it, the machinery is going to be working with that mushroom cloud explosion you saw? And the photos of it completely shattered a black hulk of metal steel girders sticking out where concrete once reinforced it. David Lindorf, investigative journalist and founding editor of the newspaper, This Can't Be Happening, explains why it is impossible to prevent just disasters with all the work that's going on in development of peaceful nuclear energy. I hear people say that it's possible to design these days a safe nuclear plant that has all passive cooling systems like Light Pebble, so that if a power fails, you still can keep the plant from going into a meltdown phase. And maybe that's true, but you have to take all the existing plants and shut them down. They are not salvageable. And they go on to report on the IAEA announcement of 1,600 times. The International Atomic Energy Agency announced yesterday, as I said earlier, it's now gone up even more, that the level of radiation 20 kilometers, now they're saying over 20 miles, from the Fukushima facility exceeds the norm by 1,600 times. And I remember Dr. Bowman saying it would, to really be dangerous, it would have to be 1,000 times. Well, that's what's going on here. And the food and water supplies have now become contaminated. We'll continue with the latest on the reactor meltdown cover-up and the radiation levels, then Libya.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Radiation in the water, fire in the sky. I want to get into the huge new developments on the Libya front, but first I had to finish up, need to finish up with the latest radiation fallout information and the attempt by the media to distract us with the war, what's happening with Obama's ill reception by the population of South America. He's cutting his trip short. The media also trying to distract us with the NCAA garbage. Homeland Security has come out and put out alerts warning everyone to look for terrorists at the NCAA, the federal government basically taking over society in the name of safety. Also, an incredible announcement yesterday via CNBC by the Dallas head of the Federal Reserve, saying that the U.S. is approaching insolvency and that the fix is to be painful. The fix is to give the bankers everything and capitulate totally like a third world nation so they can rob us even more. So we're going to be breaking that down. Also, a big report put out by Glenn Beck yesterday that is important. The left's economic terrorism playbook, coalition destroy U.S. capitalism and redistribute wealth. This by one of the big union heads. But there's a twist to this. Remember the economic terrorism engaged in by the Federal Reserve in October of 2008 when they said, give us trillions of dollars or we will destroy the economy. And I want to warn the globalist-controlled unions that if they are successful in trying to crash the stock market coming up in June, that the globalists will then blame all of the oncoming depression on you. So you're stumbling directly into complete and total Patsyville with that. So we're going to be going over that as well today. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I do want to add first-time callers. I forgot to add that proviso. I want to give first-time callers every few weeks a chance. So it'll be first-time callers today on the broadcast, 800-259-9231. To finish up with the latest information on the reactor, here is the Russia Today piece on the 1,600 times normal levels of radiation in the ground and water supply of Japan out to 20 kilometers or more from the Fukushima disaster site, where they've had to evacuate again because of radioactive smoke belching out of one of the reactors in the ongoing crisis. Here it is.
To Japan now, and reports suggest workers have restored electricity to five of the six reactors at the Fukushima nuclear plant. It comes as Japan has resumed its efforts to solve the atomic crisis following unexplained emissions of smoke. RT's Igor Agronov is following events.
The focus has shifted onto the impact of the radiation, which has already been released. The authorities are saying that in some of the areas around the plant, the radiation levels are 1,600 times higher than they should be normally. Villagers in nearby settlements have been told not to drink their tap water because it contains possible radioactive elements. Instead, they're being given bottled water. There's also suspicion that some of the marine life around the plant on the coast has been poisoned as well, and that may pose some sort of risk to the fisheries. We've also had scares over the weekend and afterwards that some of the agricultural produce from that area may be contaminated as well. Now, the authorities are saying that the levels are safe, but of course, there's still a level of anxiety amongst the Japanese people and even people further abroad as to the possible risks of radiation. Of course, there is still the impact of the earthquake and the tsunami which has recently struck Japan. The police are saying that 9,000 people have been confirmed as dead, more than 12,000 as missing. 300,000 or more than that remain homeless. And of course, the number of the confirmed dead is likely to grow over the next few weeks.
Okay.
Well, the nuclear crisis.
And the rest of that video is linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, or you can simply go to RT's website, rt.com, and find all of that information. And Japanese papers, I don't just go with one source, they are also confirming 1,600 times or higher. Now, you notice that Ann Coulter has not taken up our offer. We have called the speaking bureau that books her, and they have basically hung up on us. They've hung up on our listeners who have called. We linked to it in an article with the headline, Infowars.com is offering to send Ann Coulter to Fukushima, and I think she should go to the nearby towns and drink the water directly out of the tap. She should eat the food, and she should ask to visit the reactor and help, even though the U.S. military's pulled out 11 days ago and refused to help and is talking about a mandatory evacuation of U.S. military personnel and U.S. government workers. They must be crazy, because Ann Coulter says that there's no radiation problem. 1,600 times and growing as it continues to belch radiation all over that area of Japan, and then most of it going out to sea towards the West Coast. And we're waiting. We've called the Speaker's Bureau that books her, and they get very upset that we even are talking about getting her to travel there and that we shouldn't be joking around about radiation. Well, we're not the ones joking around about it. Anne can be a big hero. And she needs to get on down to Fukushima, and she can maybe move into one of these shattered reactors that's smoking, and because she said you won't get cancer. I mean, if you get radiation, she said the people getting this radiation, we're not going to get cancer now. So please, Anne, I mean, but please go to Japan and drink the water and maybe go fishing right off the coast there, where hundreds of thousands of fuel rods were ejected out into the ocean. It's just a few dozen yards away from the water, and you saw them ejected in all directions, stored on top. But now I see why the plant owners, Tokyo Power and Electric, did store the 600,000-plus fuel rods on top of the reactors that blew sky high. And why they built the reactors on a fault line. That's because radiation is good for you. And so it's good to build on fault lines in a tsunami zone on the coast, and it's good to store the spent fuel rods on top of the live reactors because the radiation is good. See, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist anymore and question things. When the Bill of Rights is violated, I'll just say that's a conspiracy theory. When the government admits they're listening to us without warrants, or when they set up illegal federally funded checkpoints, or when the TSA sets up checkpoints on highways. Sure, it's unconstitutional. Sure, radiation's deadly. Sure, DU's bad for the troops. Sure, fractional reserve banking is bad for the economy. But I can wave a magic Ann Coulter wand, and then that will make everything okay. And you know, folks, we don't really get into Ann Coulter here. I'm not bashing her just to bash her. She has completely discredited herself and discredited some of the good things she talks about. She says she likes Ron Paul. She says that we should end some of these wars because we're bankrupt. But now that kind of discredits the serious things she talks about by being such a willing tart for the nuclear power industry. Okay. Let me punch up the phone calls here. JB, Jamie, Kevin, Scott, William, and others. We are going to get to you here in just a few minutes, and I'm going to get more into this later in the broadcast in more detail because there's so much news on it. But right now, let me just give you some of the basic new developments going on. Big France 24 television, big national TV reports, "We are not at war," says Fillon. 3 days after the start of the international military mission over Libya, French Prime Minister defended France's involvement in Libya during Tuesday's parliamentary debate. Opening the debate on French involvement in Libya, French Prime Minister reiterated, or I would say regurgitated, the intervention was intended to stop attacks against Libyan civilians and nothing more. He went on to say, "We are not at war with Libya, really. You've got ground forces preparing to invade. There's bombardments all over the country, including government buildings. If that's not a war, what is?" I guess a no-fly zone now means a full bombardment and a prepared ground invasion and rebels being armed out of Saudi Arabia and Egypt through western Egypt into eastern Libya. Now, if that isn't a war, I don't know what is, but the French Prime Minister says that it's not a war. And Ann Coulter says radiation's good for you. So, again, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. Being a conspiracy theorist is questioning government, is being informed, is not being a chump, not being a sucker. But I want to be establishment. So I agree this is not a war. Kind of like we have video clips. In fact, get that one ready from MSNBC in 2007 when Senator Biden, soon to be candidate Biden at the time for vice president, Biden said that if Bush attacked Iran, he would move for total impeachment because you've got to have a congressional, you really, under the law, you're supposed to have a declaration of war and then orders to the president. But now, you know, they started eroding that by setting up these little congressional statements or these congressional authorizations that are these blank checks to use force. Now, well, I mean, if you're not going to have a declaration of war, why even have the authorization? Which, because, I mean, if you're going to be unconstitutional, why not go the whole way? Why not have the UN last Thursday night announce that there need to be a no-fly zone and bombardment and possible invasion, and then have the UN pass the resolution and then debate it on Friday, and then on Saturday, attacks are launched on Libya. No statement from Congress, not even an attempt by the president, who was busy getting ready to go to South America on his trip where he was universally decried and protested and where protesters had rubber bullets fired at him. But again, if Gaddafi fires rubber bullets at people, we've got to invade, or if Syria does. But And of course, they lied about him strafing crowds and running away to Venezuela. I mean, the point is, the guy's not a nice guy, but they're exaggerating, they're lying, and they've got a double hypocritical standard. So that's all going on. Camp Lejeune, Marines to Libya. Local television, WCTI 12, is reporting, and they've got the Marine commander of the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, 2,200 Marines of the MEU, saying their mission is to help in the violence in Libya and that they're being delivered to the troop landing ships in the Mediterranean. Quote, in Libya right now, they're doing exactly what we need them to do. They are doing what they are told, and right now that's protecting Libyan people against Gaddafi's forces, said Captain Timothy Patrick, a Marine with the 26th MEU. And they go on to update the article. The Marines put out the statement that the UN Security Council towards resolving the unrest in Libya includes the removal of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's forces from major cities. These latest strikes by the MEU aimed at preserving the sanctity of the city and the safety of the civilians within in an effort to safeguard the Libyan populace and infrastructure in and around the city of Adjabalaya, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Adabiyah, from further attacks by the regime forces. The 26th MEU, as part of the Joint Task Force Odyssey Dawn, launched a second round of strikes by AV-8B Harrier jump jets. And then again, they're delivering with 2,200 troops for possible ground invasion. You know, when that F-15E crashed outside of Benghazi, that's al-Qaeda globalist allied held. I mean, that's London Telegraph, CNN, the bold, wonderful, heroic al-Qaeda. I don't agree with that. I don't like al-Qaeda. But again, I'm the bad guy. I'm the anti-American. Remember, I don't like the troops having their death benefits stolen secretly 11 years ago now in Bloomberg and AP. I'm evil. I mean, I'm really a bad guy. And you can hate me because I'm not for al-Qaeda. I'm sorry, I'm not for Gaddafi either, but I'm really not for al-Qaeda. I'm not for Anwar al-Awlaki, Fox News reporting, secretly hanging out at the Pentagon getting orders, then running every major attack inside the U.S. and Europe, from the shoe bomber to the underwear bomber to the Fort Hood killer to everybody involved in the 7/7 bombings in London in 2005. So Camp Lejeune Marines head to Libya. The coalition's not going too well. Who's in charge? Germans pull forces out of NATO as Libyan coalition falls apart. But I forgot to finish the other point. When that jet crashed, they report that an army helicopter coming to rescue the pilots attacked and shot a bunch of people, what shot six people. But the father of the little boy who may have his leg amputated says he loves America, hates Gaddafi, and he understands. And the pilots were aided by local residents who are not fans of Gaddafi. We can't say they're al-Qaeda. We don't know. And then the helicopter came and just opened up on them, even though they were reportedly cheering them, and they delivered the pilots to them. But, hey, they're brown people. Kill them immediately. And the father is like, thank you so much for blowing part of my son's leg off. That's actually in the news as well. So, again, he'd make a good American. He's like, thank you for attacking us. Oil tops $105 per barrel. Oil rising again. Gasoline prices flat, but experts say that they will keep climbing due to the overall increased cost of crude oil. Obama seeks to break impasse over Libya and over the fact that a whole bunch of the NATO members are either threatening to remove themselves or removing themselves. And again, that's in the Mail story, the Daily Mail. Deep divisions between Allied forces currently bombing Libya worsen today as the German military announced it's pulling forces out of NATO over the continued disagreement over who will lead the campaign. Germany didn't send its forces. Now they're, quote, pulling out of NATO partially. A German military spokesman said it was canceling two frigates and AWACS surveillance plane crews from the Mediterranean after fears that they would be drawn into the conflict if NATO takes over control from the U.S. The infighting comes as a heated meeting of NATO ambassadors yesterday failed to resolve the 28-nation alliance should run the operation to enforce the U.N. mandated no-fly zone, diplomats said. See, what's Obama doing here? He's a globalist. He hands us over to the Federal Reserve. He takes the baton from Bush, accelerates the looting, giving things left cover, suppressing his base of moronic idiots, then of childlike morons, I mean, he's expanded the wars, the torture, the wiretapping. You so-called liberals who love to moralize about Bush, now you hail his wars. You worship them. You get off on them. You say it's good. I was watching MSNBC the other night. They're doing it. This is disgusting. But notice what Obama's done. For the first time in America's 235-year history, the president openly took orders from the United Nations and did not even pretend to consult Congress. Just that's totally being removed from the equation. The emperor doesn't need his regional governors anymore. That's impossible. Who will maintain over the bureaucracy? Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of the NATO war machine. So he's delivered us under UN control, and now NATO is taking control of the operation from the United States. See, that's what this is all about. Foreign gaggles of bureaucrats, unelected, running our military, running our banking, running our government. JB, Jamie, Kevin, Scott, William, your calls coming up in the next two segments. Then we're going to look at food price increases, the economy, the Federal Reserve saying the U.S. approaching insolvency. Stay with us. If we don't have the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, if we don't enforce it as the rightful sovereigns of this republic, we are slaves. That is the history of the world, the history of civilization. And I do not have words to express to you how grievous an injury to our republic it is to have NATO running the military operations, the Congress never consulted, the United Nations giving the order. Those statements stand on their own, just like 6 years ago when the SPP was signed, the Security Prosperity Partnership for North American Union, and it was secret. Judicial Watch sued. I talk about this a lot because it's so key, and got thousands of pages of documents. We cover it in Endgame, and the first thing in the event, in the meeting, is we must integrate North America by stealth. Now, a month ago, they formalized the North American security perimeter and publicly admitted that the treaty will have Mexican and Canadian troops operating in the U.S. for civil insurrection. Now, that's in major newspapers. Ottawa Citizen, Associated Press, no one covers it. I beg powerhouses like Glenn Beck to talk about that, but see, he never will criticize the Pentagon. It's not our military. It's run by traitors. The average person in the military joined because they care about liberty. But they don't get promoted. The scumbags that'll torture people to death do. And then our name, our country, gets trashed when our country's being used by the New World Order. Not in our name. Not in the United Nations name. Remember Michael New refusing to go under UN command in Bosnia, in Macedonia? Now there's not even a discussion about this. This is a big deal. And I commend the Drudge Report. He's been leading with it, pointing out that it's unconstitutional. But who else is covering it? You know, we are. I saw it on our Facebook yesterday. Then I saw it on Drudge today with Biden up there saying he would impeach anybody. And I said I'd go to your calls, but I've got to play this clip. Here's Biden on MSNBC saying he would go after Bush for impeachment in the U.S. Senate if he launched a war against Iran without congressional approval. Here it is.
You said that if the President of the United States had launched an attack on Iran without congressional approval, that would have been an impeachable offense. Do you want to review
Absolutely.
That comment you made? Well, how do you stand on that now?
Yes, I want to stand by that comment I made. The reason I made the comment was as a warning. The reason I don't say those things lightly, Chris. You've known me for a long time. I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee for 17 years, or its ranking member. I teach separation of powers and constitutional law. This is something I know. So I got together and brought a group of constitutional scholars together to write a piece that I'm going to deliver to the whole United States Senate, pointing out the president has no constitutional authority to take this nation to war against a country of 70 million people unless we're attacked or unless there is proof that we are about to be attacked. And if he does, If he does, I would move to impeach him. The House obviously has to do that, but I would lead an effort to impeach him. The reason for my doing that, I don't say it lightly. I don't say it lightly.
By the way, you don't need to be a constitutional law scholar and a lawyer. That's 101 that Congress declares war. I mean, that is 101. But notice, Congress doesn't control the issuance of our currency and credit. Private Federal Reserve does. Now Congress doesn't even have a say or doesn't even try to stand up and have a say. That's an even bigger issue. This happened last Thursday. Obama went along with the attack Friday. It's now Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 5 days later into the attack. And not a word from Congress saying, hey, you can't do that. Talk about a servile, disgusting group, and disgusting Republicans are all going along with it. It's only a few Democrats that are against it. That tells you everything you need to know about those servile Republicans.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're into hour number two. We have a little guest popping in for the next segment that will be open phones for the rest of the hour. I'm going to get to Jamie, and then at the 24 after, we'll start getting to Kevin, Scott, William, and others. I'm going to get to all of you, first-time callers only today, 800-259-9231, 1,600 times regular safe levels, background radiation in Japan, areas of Japan right now. You've got this coalition in NATO breaking up. You've got the scandal of Obama putting us directly under UN control without even trying to reach out to Congress. And Congress has laid down and taken it, except for Ron Paul saying this is part of the birth of world government correctly. Only Ron Paul. We've heard a little bit from Rand Paul. That's it. That's it. And a few Democrats. Truly disgusting. We've got a lot of other economic news coming up in the next segment. U.S. approaching insolvency. That's what the Dallas Fed chief said. Better listen up. JB and Tejas in Texas. You're on the air, JB. Thanks for holding.
How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing all right. A little bit of hoarse today for some reason.
Man, you got one heck of a show, I tell you. Man, I seen your end game on, they played on the network here in Houston on 55 Channel. And fourth largest city was watching that movie and just freaking out, man. I had people calling me going, wow, I didn't know it was all coming down, man.
Well, that film was made almost 4 years ago. There's a lot of liberty-loving people that own TV stations and cable channels airing and broadcast TV, airing my films all over the country. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I had people call me. They were just totally tripping out because I've been talking about what you've been talking about. And they said, well, that can't be. I said, well, watch this flick. You'll freak. And they were just freaking out, man. And I was going to call you and ask you, you know, NASA, they've done thrown them a bone where they can't do any more space flights. Won't these super-duper NASA engineers and scientists see if they can make some kind of a repair on that reactor? I mean, they can make stuff that unfolds in space. They can make a cover for that thing to keep people from...
Well, here's the deal. They could put together a new giant dome in pieces and then weld it together, but it's built on the ocean, and there's a water table right there, so it's going down into the water table, into the aquifer in Japan that's under that. They built it on an earthquake fault line, one of the most geologically unstable areas in the world, where they have tsunamis, and stored the 39 years of spent fuel rods on top of it. Doesn't sound too smart.
Well, I don't see any quality, safety, or productivity control or anything. I don't see any safety in there. I don't know what they were drinking, what they were thinking. But let me just say this. NASA's not working. Put them to work. They can fan fold a cover over the thing, get the air cleaned out, and then they can go and work underneath there and see if they can put some liquid nitrogen and some other stuff in there and take care of the cooling of it.
Well, that's a good idea. They could actually drill in and start pumping the water out into containers they then ship out. That's a good idea. But see, they need the water there to keep it cooled, but it's all shattered from the explosions, so it's a catch-22. And they're sending in firefighters and police. Most of the plant workers refuse to go back in. And in the warrior society in Japan, the whole samurai thing has been handed down to the firefighters and police. Do you think our cops would go bathe themselves in the radiation that's going to kill them?
I don't think they would. I'll say this. Those 50 guys are the probably most bravest guys I've ever heard of. I know they got some brave guys in the military here, but I'm talking like Bo Greitz. He's one of the bravest. But, I mean, you know, and what you're doing, you're brave for, you know, speaking your mind and all. But these cats have to be over the top, you know.
Well, they're true warriors. I mean, they see themselves as basically the warrior ants in the anthill, and they're there to die, and that's what they've said, but they're not trained. The military and the firefighters and the police, that's who they've got in there, are not trained. And so they're in there with fire hoses up against reactors that are basically boiling high radiation out on them. And when they say 50, it's actually several hundred that they rotate through, but 50 at a time. And it's a serious battle, and I appreciate your call, JB. Now, I'm going to get into some economic news coming up for one segment, and I promise I'll hurry through calls. I'll try my best. Jamie, Kevin, Scott, William, and others. First-time callers today, 800-259-9231. But after the break, U.S. approaching insolvency, fixed to be painful. The head of the Dallas Fed says we'll cover this and what it signifies on the other side. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, for one segment, we're going to look at economic news and coming back straight to your phone calls. Then Aaron Dykes is in studio with an investigation on the weather and tectonic weapon that they admit they have via the HAARP system in the last 30 minutes of the next hour. Oil is up to $105 a barrel right now and climbing. They're blaming it on Libya. That obviously is not helping the economy. Food prices worldwide are at the highest increase that we've seen since 1974, the year that I was born. And that's fueling a lot of this insurrection worldwide that the globalists then piggyback on, because in many of these third world countries, half or more of the income that people get in many areas like Egypt, the general population makes $2 or less a day. It is basically causing them to starve. Now, remember, in the last month, we've seen the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times of London. We've seen Time Magazine, Newsweek all say the end of the dollar is nigh. The end of the dollar. Well, when we lose the dollar, we lose everything. That's all we had left to buy all these cheap goods for our service economy. And if the dollar is devalued further, which they're signaling is going to happen, and is decoupled and phased out as the world reserve currency, then we are going to have massive increases in the cost of living in a country already sliding into depression by every yardstick, by every major economist we interview. But here's CNBC.com last night, U.S. approaching insolvency, fixed to be painful. And this is coming from the very people that have engineered this, now posing as our saviors. The United States is on a fiscal path towards insolvency, and policymakers are at a tipping point. A Federal Reserve official said last night, if we continue down the path of which the fiscal authorities put us, we will become insolvent. The question is when. Dallas Federal Reserve Bank President Richard Fisher said in a question and answer after delivering a speech at the University of Frankfurt, the short-term negotiations are very important. I look at this as a tipping point. And the negotiations are cutting Social Security, cutting the chicken feed that got us addicted to government, and paying more and more of the GDP to the bankers. So cutting overall spending for the general public and pushing that spending towards the bankers. We are all mindful of this phenomenon. Speaking personally, I'm concerned that we are going to be extremely vigilant on that front, Fisher said in an interview. I think the beginning of the process, and it's going to be very painful. That's called austerity. I wanted to bring up Steve Shank, who for more than 30 years has been the leader in high-quality storable foods grown right here in the United States, because he is running a special for just a few weeks more. He can tell us the exact dates for free shipping on all of their high-quality storable foods. But I've also got him here. That's one of the biggest costs in storable foods is the shipping. And food prices for him have gone up. He started reporting this 2 years ago, but he kept prices down and tried to make up for it by ramping up production in the free market using supply and demand to try to get ahead of this, but it's really getting bad. Now they're not denying that food prices are exploding everywhere. And as the dollar accelerates its devaluation, you're only going to see not just food, but every other commodity like oil go up and up and up. Steve Shank, good to have you here with us.
Hey, good to be with you, Alex. And what you were commenting about with the oil, we've been running statistics for the last 5 years, and as the oil prices go up, there's an exact, when you graph food prices and oil prices, they are, you might as well be looking at the same lines on the graph. And what's happening is everything that you and I have talked about for the last 3 years, all of the predictions, we are literally in a perfect storm situation with regard to an economic failing, and every single road on the economic scale leads to food. It's the determining factor in these third world countries that are falling right and left. And as the American dollar does what we've all known that it was in the process of doing, that is shooting food prices to the point where we have millions of American families already. Now, the news media talk about the third world people that can't afford food. We've got millions of American families that are in that situation. And so one of the things that we're dealing with, in our conversations before, Alex, we've talked about the ethanol thing blowing. Now, ethanol, which was supposed to save our bacon with regard to fuel prices, is causing the fuel prices to go up.
And by the way, Steve, 4 years ago on our broadcast, you predicted the ethanol situation, the oils. I mean, you really knew what you were talking about.
Well, it doesn't take brain surgery, Alex. We're sitting out there. We're having to buy raw materials way out a year ahead. And as we're doing that, we're looking at what's happening as these food prices are literally pricing Americans out of the market.
And a lot of the food makers have adulterated the quality. They have something called meat glue, where they take chunks of meat they couldn't sell and put it into fake beef steaks and actually glue it together with artificial clotting agent and then slice it. They've tried to lower food quality to try to keep prices down, but now even that can't cover up what's going on. And you talk about perfect storm, the wars, the oil prices, the food prices, and now we've got the new bubble that you predicted years ago of the big multinational brokerage firms racing into food, bidding the price up.
Now, you mentioned the weather control, which is fascinating. All of the huge population countries, you've got India and China, they literally are in serious trouble. China is losing 60% of its wheat this year.
Russia.
As a result of this continuing drought thing, which means that they are literally farming America. Our leaders are refusing to shut down exports. Every other country that's short on food is shutting down exports. We're allowing our commodities traders to buy up American food and sell it overseas to these large population countries that are buying everything they can get right out from under us, and that's causing an addition to the food prices going up, because we are having unprecedented shortages of food in a country which is now importing about 40% of its food to begin with.
Unbelievable.
You mentioned the perfect storm. Every single circumstance that's out there that can affect shortages of food and boosting the price of food is in play right now, including other countries buying the food out from under us. This Japanese tragedy is just another shockwave of letting us know, with all of the conditions we can't control, like the world disaster situation where we've got
Russia this year
and droughts and others,
suspended all foreign shipments of grain because they had all those fires.
Absolutely. And the thing is, China is in a situation where they are the country that tries to control weather more than any other country in the world, and they can't get it to rain or snow any place where they're growing their food. They're in deep, deep trouble, and that puts us in deep trouble. So basically what we've got is a situation where the only choice that families have right now, based on what you and I have talked about, is to freeze the cost and the availability of food by putting in their supplies while they can still afford them and while there's still food to buy. That's exactly what we're dealing with. This is not doom and gloom. This is fact. This is what we're dealing with right now. I've got our buyers out there way ahead of us, a year ahead out there contracting for food. And believe me, commodities buyers are out there competing with us right now for American food to feed American people, many of which are starving right now.
Now, to explain that, that inside baseball, you've been able to hold down prices quite a bit when others haven't, because you will bid out and buy food that hasn't even been grown yet a year in advance. That's how these businesses work when you get big enough to be able to keep the prices very, very competitive. But look, with all the depression news, the war news, I promote what I believe in. And I bought a lot of storable food from other companies. It was terrible, MSG, fillers. I finally found you guys years ago. It's super high quality. And so I approached you about being a sponsor. People need to take advantage of this deal. How long are you running this free shipping? Because for folks that don't know, this food weighs a lot. And so that's a huge part of the cost that you're knocking off here.
Well, we're running it through the 31st of this month. So we've got just a few days. We've got 7 or 8 days. But if folks will get their orders in, now one of the things that we have is we've got a lot of folks realizing that they have no choice but to try and freeze the cost and the availability of the food. So they're ordering. So we're telling folks, give us 4 weeks on the shipping. That's fine. We'll handle it.
Because you're not selling them old food. I mean, you're preparing fresh food right now.
Oh, absolutely. The food is prepared after we receive the order just because we're moving so fast. But we've always done that because one of the things with storable food, you don't want any stuff that's old. You want the full shelf life.
And I want to warn people, there's other good companies out there, but there are a lot of them selling 10, 15-year-old garbage.
Yep. That's true, and the problem is that to the average person, one piece of dried food looks like another piece of dried food, and they don't know the difference, but we sure do, and that's one of the key things. People have to have good quality food, because right now, the decisions that people are making, their life depends on it. This is the first time in the history of mankind that we've had a worldwide situation that this is as serious as this is.
By the way, if anybody doubts that, they can just Google record global food shortage. They're predicting even more riots due to this. People need to be self-sufficient. EFoodsDirect.com, the letter EFoodsDirect.com, banners on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Steve, give folks the toll-free number.
800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. And if you get the calls in and you get on the Internet, we're going to run this free shipping through the 31st of this month.
All right, Steve, I'm going to get...
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The Japanese media and government is admitting that a neutron beam is being emitted from Fukushima number 2. Only plutonium or uranium, that's the live reactor, can put that out. So we're going to be breaking that down after I take some more phone calls. They are reporting 1,600 times safe levels of radiation as far away as 20 kilometers from the reactor. By the way, Steve got cut off there by the break. If you want to call efoodsdirect.com and ask any questions or get a color brochure, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Or efoodsdirect.com if you missed that. Okay, I promise to go to your calls. This is a short segment, but I'm going to bang through these. I love hearing from you. I'm sorry we haven't gotten to a lot of you yet. Jamie, Kevin, Scott, William, Pam, we're going to get to all of you. Jamie in Washington, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. Fukushima has changed so many facets to our lives and our world, and ties into Libya. It ties into what Steve Shank was saying about the perfect storm. One of the layers of the danger is just how it's changed our daily lives. To people now accept low-level radiation as normal. And the implications of that are so serious in that my fear is that, well, in never letting the good nuclear crisis go to waste, I can see this playing out to people, I think, post-Fukushima. If somebody was to drop a nuke on somebody else, our perception about how that would affect our lives is different now.
Very well said, Jamie. You know, the Pentagon 6 years ago changed its policy and said that they're now preparing to use, quote, small nukes on countries as tactical weapons preemptively, including plans to drop over 100 low-yield bunker busters on Iran's mountain facilities and government facilities that are hardened. And that's exactly what's happening. Pre-91, they wouldn't let the troops use depleted uranium munitions. Then they waved a magic wand and said, good for you. And it's the same thing here now. They are actually saying that. I mean, did your gut tell you that? Or were you already aware that you are correct? They're actually planning this.
Well, it's actually 10 months ago I watched the Obama deception. I set out on a mission to prove you wrong, and so now I'm a daily listener. My gut tells me that it's all part of acceptance. You know, like you've talked about many times before, you accept a little bit into your lives, and they give you more and more. My gut tells me that, you know, 2 weeks ago, people, if you would have dropped a nuke on somebody, you'd have people, you know, take a potassium iodine. You'd have them trying to stock up on food as quickly as possible. You'd have them trying to find shelters. And now people just don't seem to care about radiation. So people aren't going to be, if you drop a nuke, they're not going to prepare their lives and not try and, you know, they've taken your natural instinct to protect yourselves and your young away from us by telling us it's normal.
Well, they've taught people it's stylish and cool to be under austerity. That's all over the newsstand shelves for the trendies, that being bankrupt is cool, having nothing is fun, radiation's probably good for you. It's not just Ann Coulter and Fox News saying it. It's fun to have your bank account stolen. It's fun to have wars. Torture is cool. Being a slave is fun. And they're basically selling us on uncommon sense. You know, they're selling us on being chumps. That so many yuppies I run into that know who I am but don't like the show, and it is the minority, but they come over and giggle and laugh and they think it's real funny to be informed, and they think being ignorant is like a shield of infallibility. They wear their willful ignorance like a medal on their chest. I mean, have you run into that?
Oh, yeah. It's now taboo to be worried about radiation. You say, you know, if you're in Washington State, you know, we've seen increased levels. And you mention that to somebody, and they look at you like you're nuts, like you're a conspiracy theorist, you know? It's like, why would you worry about radiation?
Well, they can see the radiation beams now coming out at night, shooting several miles out in different directions. It's now confirmed, major Japanese TV reporting, don't worry about the neutron beams. At night, you can see the blue beams. They can even see it. It's like nutritious, good. And I think Ann Coulter should go sit right in front of the beam, right at the opening of these blasted reactors. And then she ought to drink in it, fountain of youth, and just lavish herself. Calgon, take me away. Fukushima, take me away. They could bottle the Fukushima reactor water, and women could bathe. I guarantee if Ann Coulter told conservative women to get it, they would buy bottles of radioactive water, feed it to babies, roll around in it. I'm not joking. I mean, you go to the store, it says fluoride water for babies. Put it in their formula. Meanwhile, the American Medical Association 6 years ago came out and said, do not give fluoride water to children under six, but doesn't matter. Drink the fluoride. Drink the uranium. Enjoy yourselves. Good to hear from you, Jamie. Kevin, Scott, William, Pam, and others. I was on ManCal this morning, big syndicated show, and I pointed out that it came out in Texas. The government covered up uranium in the water, and he just didn't even know what to say. I mean, I'm not making that up. I mean, they actually put it in the water here. Mr. Nice Guy from the New World Order. got a hold of me. We need to be nice to each other, but not too nice to the New World Order. We need to expose these rats for the criminals they are. Or the sky is the limit with these people. Now, I announced this at the start of the show, but I kind of forgot that he was coming on. It's such a special guest because he lives in Japan. He was out of the country before this happened. He's now back. James Corbett of the Corbett Report will be with us into the next hour. But I promise to go to these callers. So he's gracious enough to hold via video Skype from Japan while we go to Val, Kevin, Scott, William, and Pam. But I don't want to have him hold too long. I promise to go to calls and forgot James Corbett was coming up with the Corbett Report. He'll be joining us here in a moment from Japan. But Val in Germany, who even tried to get in yesterday, I believe. Val, you're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, hello?
Yes, welcome. You're in the Air Force?
Yes. Probably shouldn't be saying that, but, you know, in school I only have a year left, so I'm getting out.
Well, no, I just see it on the screen. I guess you told him yesterday when you tried to get in, but you got through today, or perhaps it was already up there from today. But regardless, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about a few things, but I'll try to make it quick. As far as what's going on in Fukushima and in Japan, I have some friends that are stationed out there near Yokota, and they're telling me that the military, they're going door to door, finding Americans, bringing them onto the American base, bringing them on military planes and flying them back to the States. That's how dangerous the situation is out there.
Well, that's confirmed by 2 days ago, CNN, where the military is considering forced evacuation of not just government, but all Americans. You're saying you've confirmed that from your Air Force connections in Japan.
Well, because, of course, you know, they say that the Japanese or, you know, the people who they're saying it's not that dangerous. But, of course, you said it on your show. It's been confirmed. And I'm reconfirming it. The situation is very dangerous. I'm going to continue to get updates of what's going on because, of course, I'm concerned for my friends. But the situation is very bad. It's in the food. It's in the water.
But what you're telling us, Val, what you're telling us from Germany is a little more. They say they're considering forced evacuation. You're saying it's already going on.
It's already going on. Not only that, in the area, I'm almost certain that a lot of the power is out, except for the bases. They refuse to turn off the power on the bases. So most of that area is black, and then you'll see like a little blip of light, which is...
Well, that was in the news over the weekend that the Japanese had asked people not to use power and that they were doing rolling blackouts, but you're saying the U.S. bases have still got power.
Yeah, the U.S. bases still have power.
Well, I mean, does this mean that finally the U.S. military is going to leave Japan? The Japanese government's begged for it for decades, but now that they may just be completely pulling out because of the radiation? I mean, that shows our military thinks it's uninhabitable. I mean, this radiation isn't going anywhere.
I mean, this may be the catalyst for what they need to boot them out. Because, like you said, they're already tired of them being there. And it's gotten so bad, you know, the back and forth. Turn off the lights. No, we're not turning it off. Turn off the lights. Turn. You know, it's gotten so bad that I guess higher government in Japan is getting involved, trying to get them to turn off the lights. But sooner or later, it'll be empty anyway. None of them will be there. So,
well, Val, this is key information. So you're in the Air Force in Germany, and you've talked to other people in Germany or folks you know in the Air Force in Japan that have told you this?
Yes.
So both?
Yes. For sure.
Have they said anything about a cover-up, about the real levels of radiation?
The real levels of radiation I have not heard about, but as the days go on and I speak to more friends, I find out different things. That is a question I'm going to have to ask because things are moving so fast over there, and friends, they're just ending up here in Germany because what's happening is this is like Germany is like a big hub. So when people deploy or things like that, or they're coming back from deployment, they come here first.
Absolutely. So, the biggest bases in Europe are there, and the big hospitals and the air bases and the rest of it. So a key area. Val, anything else you think is important that people should know?
Well, the situation with Libya, what I'm afraid of is not the airstrikes and things that are going on. I'm afraid of what will happen after that, because things are already scattered, and the quote-unquote allies are not getting along at all. Despite what they say in the news, they're not getting along at all. And, of course, everyone ultimately wants power over the oil, because this is just a big oil war. And, well, I'm not going to go in depth about the president.
Let me ask you, as a private citizen, what are the troops around you think? Are they excited about the war, or do they not like it on average?
Absolutely not. Not excited about the war at all.
Good.
They think it's a fake. They think it's a phony. A lot of us are getting out, but we don't want to be a part of it.
Is any of the military or any of the Air Force folks that you're there with, are they concerned about the president following UN orders and not consulting Congress?
That hasn't been brought up, but I'm concerned about it, because they do that because they slowly strip away at our rights. And the military, you know, we get even less rights than the citizens.
All right. Well, Val, you're awesome. Stay in touch with us. Very important phone call. Now, listen, I said I'd go to calls quickly, but that one took about 5-6 minutes, and I've got our guest waiting in the wings. I promise that we will go to your phone calls before this hour ends. Kevin, Scott, William, and others, the first-time caller line is open, 800-259-9231, only first-time callers. And we'll take calls while James Corbett is our guest. He joins us from Japan, and we're also, towards the end of the show today, going to announce the video contest winners for the answer to 1984-1776. But James Corbett is an independent journalist, has been living and working in Japan since 2004. He's been writing and producing the Corbett Report that people really have found to be extremely informative and incisive, an online multimedia news information source. His forthcoming book, Reportage, essays on the New World Order, will be available very soon. CorbettReport.com is his website. He's also got another announcement of why he wasn't in Japan that he's going to make on air. We appreciate him being a tough guy with a stiff upper lip, chin up, joining us. And everybody should pray for James Corbett and his family. James, first, because you said you wanted to make the announcement, why you weren't in Japan when this happened, joining us via video Skype back in Japan. You got back yesterday. And then let's get into what you're seeing on the ground there.
Right. Well, as I told my listeners just before I went on my little hiatus, unfortunately, I was dealing with the loss of my mother, and I was going back to Canada for her funeral. And incredibly enough, it was just the day after the earthquake that I actually left Japan to go back to Canada. And I spent over a week there, and I've just gotten back to Japan. So during that time, I obviously wasn't following the news very carefully. So you were covering things. I've been catching up over the last couple of days. You were covering things excellently and are probably better informed about this than I am. But I've gotten back, and I'm scrambling to catch up. And so now I'm back, and I'm working on the Corbett Report again and conducting interviews and writing articles. And
well, we're sorry for your loss. But now, James, you were there for the earthquake. Tell us where you are located in Japan.
So I am on the western side of the main island of Honshu, and it's about, I would say, 700 kilometers, that's about 400 miles from my American friends, southwest of Fukushima. So it's quite a ways away, and obviously out here we didn't feel a thing. The first I ever heard of the earthquake was when I was online, you know, looking at news. So I didn't feel a thing. There was no tsunami here. It was just the images coming in, and I was watching them like everybody else. And at the time, of course, I was just preparing to go back to Canada, so I wasn't thinking about the effects of the tsunami or the lasting effects, but obviously we're seeing that now. But as you may know, I'm an English teacher here in Japan. I teach at elementary schools and junior high schools, and today was the elementary school graduation ceremony, because the school year ends here in March rather than in July, like back home. So people were having the graduation ceremony, and I was there watching it, and we had a moment of silence at the beginning of it for the victims of the earthquake and the tsunami, and it was pretty powerful. During that moment of silence, I was thinking about an image that I saw in the newspaper this morning, and I'll hold it up for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers out there. For radio listeners, I'll describe it. It's basically someone kneeling in front of a twisted wreck of metal and it just remains. And this is actually a bus that was transporting kindergarten children who were being transported away during the earthquake, and they were trying to get to high ground, and the tsunami came, and it took over the bus. It flipped it around. It landed on its side in a pool of gasoline that was leaking from a gas station, and the gasoline ignited, and those children end up as charred cinders. And these types of stories are coming out absolutely every single day, and we're just seeing more and more horrific scenes from what the devastation that took place, over 24,000 now dead and missing. So just indescribable scenes coming out of that part of Japan. And obviously I'm not there, but obviously everyone is, thoughts and prayers are with those people right now, including myself. And now as we speak, of course, the black smoke is belching out of reactors 2 and 3 with their deadly payload of iodine-131 and cesium-234 and cesium-237. And as you just mentioned, reactor 2 is now spurting out neutron beams. So it's a horrific situation, and it's only getting worse.
What do you think of Ann Coulter writing articles and going on TV with a straight face and saying this is actually going to keep us all from getting cancer and it's nutritious? We have called her booking agent and said we're going to pay the fee, which is a lot of money, and the airline tickets, everything, and they get very angry with us. I demand she go to Fukushima, and if it's so good, and drink water out of that reactor.
There is just no accounting for that ghoul and the despicable comments that she's making. And I really hope that a year or two from now, when there are little children dying of leukemia out there, I really hope that she looks in the mirror and realizes that she has sold her soul to go and just pimp these ideas for these corporations to which she's enslaved to. It's just despicable and it's unthinkable. And I'm glad at least that no one's listening to the things that she has to say.
Well, it's insane. I mean, I wonder if she actually believes it, because it is insane.
It's unthinkable.
She talked about the people in Japan. She said it's good for them.
Well, I hope she'll come. I hope she'll come, and I'll be here to welcome her and you know, lead her to the site so she can go and experience it for herself.
Well, I don't want you to do that. We know it's deadly, and as the plant head said last Friday, breaking down and crying, saying he couldn't cover up anymore. He said this is lethal. This is going to kill people. And we have gotten reports of people in and around the area with red faces vomiting, but the Japanese are so stoic, a lot of them are still following orders. Bloomberg reports Fukushima engineer says he helped cover up flaw at Daiichi number reactor 4. That's Bloomberg. That came out last night. One of the reactors at the crippled Fukushima nuclear plant may have been relying on flawed steel to hold the radiation in its core, according to an engineer who helped build its containment vessel 4 decades ago. And I don't want to pronounce his name wrong, but it's the article's up there on Bloomberg. You lived in Japan now for 8-9 years, so you could probably pronounce it. But dealing with this, are the Japanese people buying into the propaganda? Because first they said no problem. Now they admit 1,600 times safe levels of radiation up to 20 kilometers away, most of it going out to sea towards the U.S. Iceland reporting they picked up radiation yesterday that's already gone over North America towards Europe. What are the Japanese saying and doing here? Does it concern them that the U.S. military is talking about forced evacuations of Americans because it's so radioactive?
Well, the sense here is that I think the Japanese people are smarter than that, and they know not to trust the government and TEPCO on things like these, because, of course, we've seen all sorts of nuclear disasters here, from the Tokaimura incident in 1999, which was the Tokyo Electric Power Company, and it was they lied over and over and over again about the extent of that disaster, and people know that that it is a cover-up. But again, it's difficult to understand unless you've been here and know the culture. But the people here are just not the type that are going to rise up and revolt anytime soon. And in some ways that's a blessing. In some ways it's a curse.
Yeah, because what good would it do now? I mean, I just think the executives that stored 600,000 plus fuel rods on top of reactors, they need to do what China does. They need to have trials. I know Japan. Does Japan have the death penalty?
Yes, it does.
It's lethal injection, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think there needs to be some people getting executed over this. And then next time in America, in Europe, in Japan, these executives will think twice. I mean, they should be executed. I'm going to say it right now. When their own engineers are coming out and saying there were cover-ups and safety, execute them. It's that simple.
Well, I tell you what, Japan has a big, long history of leaders committing suicide when they've messed up in a big way. And this is a case where they've messed up in a big way. So who knows what will happen. But at any rate, the idea that the TEPCO and the government has been covering up what's going on and has not been releasing information and is trying to downplay this incident is despicable. And if the puppet, commonly known as President Obama, or more accurately, his string pullers, were at all serious about the idea of military-backed human intervention, they would have been out here deploying U.S. military assets to do the sarcophagus option and dropping cement on that site. You had an excellent article up yesterday from Hiroshi Takashi at Infowars.com, what they're covering up at Fukushima, that everybody needs to go and read, because he's shooting from the hip. And he is a nuclear expert who's basically saying that that they're just ludicrous trying to downplay this, and the only real option left is to bury that place in cement and give up, because the idea that they're ever going to get these reactors going again is ludicrous.
Well, they continue to explode, they continue to smoke, they continue to belch out intensifying levels of radiation, and more here in the U.S., the NCAA March Madness and things, and the Libya thing is starting to eclipse this, with our media telling us that radiation is not a problem. The problem is, even when it comes in low levels, it comes in over and over again as the weeks draw on. It's the cumulative, same thing in Japan. First it was 25 times, then 100 times, then 200, then 400. Now it's 1,600 times in these areas, because it continues to fall on the ground and build up. That's the cumulative effect. That's what's so dangerous about a meltdown.
That's exactly right. It's not even the plume itself, which I hate to say this, but luckily for me, where I am, it's heading east, which is horrible for everyone in North America, obviously. But it's not even the plume itself. It's just the fallout that's coming out around that plant is going to be in the soil for thousands of years, as we know, well, billions, really, the half-life of some of these elements. And it's going to contaminate the food supply. It already is. And the wastewater from these reactors are coming out straight into the Pacific.
Stay there. Stay there, James Corbett, Corbett Report. I'm Alex Jones. Okay, I want to go to Kevin, Scott, William, and many others, first-time callers that are patiently holding. James Corbett will be with us 20 minutes into the next hour. We got Aaron Dykes joining us as well on HARP. I want to announce the answer to 1984 1776 winners. I'll do that today, but I'm going to play some of them tomorrow and spend more time on it. Biggest response ever, over 1,500 videos we've counted up that were sent in. All of you are huge winners in the fight against the globalist. We first announced that we were going to do this when the TSA announced cash prizes for TSA fear-mongering videos in Walmart and in a total 9,000 locations, not just Walmart's, 846 Walmarts and 8,000 plus other facilities, Mall of America, big jumbotrons for videos produced by citizens. We've seen a lot of them. There's sniveling, bootlicking, sycophantic, fear-mongering police state videos. We have absolutely dominated them. 1,500 videos, some of them with 50,000, 100,000 views, totaled together. No way it's not a million or more views. Devastating attack on the globalist in the info war. Every permutation you can imagine of resistance. Very exciting. It was very hard to pick the winners, but we'll be doing that at the very end of the transmission today. I want to go to calls, but we're going to do that when we come back at the start of the next hour in T-minus 5 minutes with Kevin, Scott, William, and others. But other points, you know, because I'm asking some questions here. What do you want to talk? What's on your mind dealing with the devastation? I mean, obviously, these executives, government people that push this, they should all commit seppuku or be executed. I'm not a person that would ever commit suicide. I love life. But if I was one of these reactor people that had lied and done this, I don't know how I could live with myself. I mean, and I'm not here just calling for retribution. They need to be punished so that other executives around the world realize they're not going to get away with this stuff.
Absolutely. There is a precedent being set here, and let's hope it's not a precedent that these companies will get away with this with impunity as people start dropping like flies from this deadly radiation. But one thing that I want to ask is that I'm not here claiming to be an expert on what's going on or saying that I have all the answers, but I want to be an information resource for people, especially English speakers in Japan, to try to get information about what's going on. So I have put up an article today, resources related to the Fukushima nuclear crisis, that has some online resources, some radiation monitoring levels and things that people can use if they're here in Japan. Also some other details like the Xenon 133 plume spread that you posted on Prison Planet the other day. I've got that up there too. I want more resources, more online things that people can use to check radiation levels and things like that. So if people out there know of any, please contact me through the website. Also, if people have ideas for guests or for interviews for me to conduct, I'm all ears about that too. And another thing that I think is really important, I'd really like to direct people to some sort of organization that's providing aid and relief to the people over in this stricken area of northeastern Japan. But I just don't know what organization to recommend at this point. Obviously, we know about the Red Cross and the way that it's handled donations in the past. So I don't want to start recommending groups without knowing anything about them. So if people know of any groups or can direct me to some, I'll have to start interviewing representatives and seeing if there's a recommendation I can make, because obviously people there need our help.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, it's important to give. The problem is the Red Cross, United Way have been caught giving to gun grabbers with the money and normally keeping about half of it. I think small churches, local community organizations, local prefecture governments, I think that's the ticket. And to just give. I know my wife's given some online, and she's tried to do her best. We're trying to get together a shipment. We held back some of the potassium iodate and didn't sell it, that we're trying to get shipped to Japan, but to the right group. We're in there trying to get that together. Perhaps you can recommend a group, because I know Japanese were ordering it from us, and I thought, wow, I don't want to have them order it from us. You know, we held back about 10% or so of it to try to ship to Japan, and then we get so busy, I floundered around finding where to ship that into Japan. Maybe I can ship it into you, and then you can get it to them.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Some of the key articles up at prisonplanet.com that we haven't even gotten to, I've kind of gotten acclimated to accept this myself, is radioactive blankets United States, radionuclei blankets United States. Authorities insist levels are harmless. Incredible German, French, and other forecast and live maps of some of the radioactive nuclei, Xenon 133 and others, that have been detected. And while James Corbett's talking, joining us from Japan, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, we're going to be playing some of these videos, or just go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and get the article, Radioactive Nuclei Blankets United States, Authorities Insist Levels Are Harmless, kind of giving us the Ann Coulter line. James, let's go ahead and take a few calls. Let's talk to Kevin in New York. Kevin, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi there, Alex. I got to tell you, it's a pleasure to talk to you, a true patriot.
Well, I'm just trying to be a half-moral person. I mean, I don't really deserve any credit. I'm just doing my job here. But what's on your mind, sir?
Listen, I actually had something that I wanted to talk about, but during the first segment of your show, you mentioned something that I'd rather talk about instead, which is you had mentioned something about McCain there rallying together constitutional scholars in the midst of Bush era there. And, it seems to me a year or two ago that Obama had said he was some kind of constitutional scholar, didn't he?
Yeah, he taught constitutional law at one of the universities, I forget which one, I think it's Harvard, was it Yale? I think it went to Harvard. But the point is, they know that it's unconstitutional to have the UN give the order to attack Libya and then not even consult Congress, and then Congress lays down to it, which is even more incredible. Amazing precedents being set right now. And they're moving to have NATO actually command the whole operation with no consultation with Congress. James Corbett, what's your take on that?
Absolutely. Well, if President Obama is the example of constitutional scholars, I think we can do with less constitutional scholars. It's unthinkable that the idea that the commander-in-chief, who is some sort of constitutional scholar, is waging this completely unconstitutional military action right now.
Well, why do we even have a Congress if they're just ignoring the law, the Constitution, and we're now taking direct orders? I mean, when the UN said attack, Obama said, you say jump, I say how high. I mean, it is completely groveling.
Why don't we just appoint him Lord Emperor and just have done with it?
Well, that's basically what he is Lord Emperor. I mean, what would happen in Japan if the emperor started telling the diet what to do? There would be a big scandal. I mean, the president has become an emperor who is a servant of the UN.
Absolutely. And that's one of the good things about the people here in Japan, is that they're not lying down to the emperor. They don't worship him anymore. And there's a lot of protest, even at school ceremonies and things, where people have to, you know, look at the flag and sing the national anthem. There are still a lot of teachers that won't do it. So there are a lot of people who still realize what all of that means and are not happy with the idea of monarchy.
Yeah. Swearing allegiance to Japan is not about swearing allegiance to some emperor.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And I'm glad that the Japanese people don't buy into that.
Well, you know, the Japanese elite have some of the, from the statistics I've seen, some of the biggest separation between the wealth of the population and the ultra rich. They already own the place. Why would they greedily build reactors on fault lines on the beach when they know tsunamis come in? They acted surprised that a tsunami came with an earthquake.
Yeah, they're only acting surprised now because they've gotten caught in the midst of this terrible tragedy. But obviously, it's unthinkable the things that they're doing, and it's going to lead to more disasters.
When we come back, I want to get your take on the Japanese people, what you're hearing from them living in Japan all these years, where they want the future of nuclear power to go in Japan. And by the way, this Tokyo Power and Electric is set to build 3 to 4 reactors in South Texas on our hurricane-ravaged coastline. It's not as bad. We don't have a lot of earthquakes, so I guess it's better.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live taking your phone calls. First time callers, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. I'm going back to your calls, Scott, William, and others here in just a moment. But before we do that, we have James Corbett of the Corbett Report. He's also an English teacher there in Japan, lived there since 2004. He's there now. And what are Japanese saying about nuclear power and its future there?
Well, perhaps I'm a bit biased because I've interviewed a lot of people, anti-nuclear people, for my website. And I've been to Hiroshima a number of times. And obviously the Hiroshima Peace Institute and other places like that, people are obviously very much opposed to the idea of nuclear weapons, of course. And nuclear power is, of course, an adjunct of that. And we see that in things like the MOX fuel, which, of course, is just spent weapons-grade plutonium being used as fuel for these reactors. So there is a huge anti-nuclear movement here, and a very strong one, as you can imagine. And for anyone who hasn't visited the Hiroshima Peace Museum, it's a harrowing experience. And one of the most striking things to me, the one that really started to choke me up when I was there, is at the end of the museum, you've seen all of this devastation and carnage that was produced by the bombs. And then as you're leaving, there's a wall, and it's just a huge wall of just replicas of letters that the mayor of Hiroshima has sent every single time there has been a nuclear test. The mayor of Hiroshima sends a letter to that government, the president or prime minister of that country, and pleads with them to stop doing it. And it's just letter after letter after letter after letter, and you see hundreds of letters pleading for the end of the abolishment of nuclear weapons.
We're going to put
very
up on
powerful.
It is powerful. We're going to put. I've seen video of it. We're going to put up on screen a graph of nuclear tests, over 300 by the U.S. total, more than all other countries combined, and it was citizens protesting worldwide that stopped the above-ground test. And it shows the New World Order eugenicist mindset in that they would drop two A-bombs on Japan, and it came out later that they were unconditionally trying to surrender for at least a month in private, safe face-saving communiques to the West. They'd been firebombed end-to-end with their paper and wood houses, the firebombing in one single day in one event a few months before Hiroshima and Nagasaki killed, the reports I saw, more than 300,000 people, actually more devastating than the two A-bombs they dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that day. But they did that as a power play. And then the globalists, they didn't care about the Japanese, and they didn't care about Americans with 300 above-ground tests, more than 300, and above-ground tests all over the Pacific, radiating our own troops, everybody else. Those islands are still highly radioactive today. I mean, what type of New World Order person soils their own nest? I mean, what's wrong with these globalists? What's going on with them? Because they're hurting themselves as well.
They absolutely are. They're destroying the environment of the Earth itself, and it makes you wonder what their end game really is, because it can't involve living and functioning as a human being on this planet. They're obviously working towards their transhumanist ideal of merging with the machines and propagating out into space, and it just goes to show the absolutely self-destructive mindset of these people, and anyone who's siding with them really has to do a double check and look in the mirror and ask why they're saying things like radiation is good for you and other such despicable lies like that, as people start to die in increasing numbers as the soft kill gets ratcheted up into hard kill.
Well, very well said. And by the way, you just quoted some of the top transhumanists that we have in Endgame. It's all over their literature by Nobel Prize winners, top scientists, about how anything we do is natural. If we destroy the Earth, that's evolution, because we were a species that developed. If we cease to be humans and merge with machines, which is their goal, and they exterminate the rest of us, that's a good thing. I've talked to people that work at IBM, and I say, well, what about their Human Genome Project, all this gene splicing? And they said, well, whatever humans do is natural, because that's part of our mutation that we make this. And it's this argument where we're not supposed to have a say. And no, I do have a say. I'm not going to eat your GMO food. Stop pushing it on me. I don't want a nuclear reactor in my neighborhood. We have one in Austin that nobody knows about, up at the J.J. Pickle Center. I've had enough of it.
Oh, stop being such a Luddite, Alex. You should just sit there and take it, and you should enjoy nourishing all these nourishing, wonderful GMOs and all this wonderful technology that's being unleashed on us right now and killing people in higher and higher numbers. This is what you want. This is what you'll get.
It certainly is. And you guys pulled up on Wikipedia the total number the other day. They're showing a map on screen of just 100 tests in the U.S. alone in Nevada. I know the total number is over 300 by the U.S. It's over 200 by all other nations, Russia, France, England. France did a lot. Just incredible. Scott in Idaho. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank you and your activist listeners for your efforts in the battle for liberty and the cause of freedom. You've followed the encouragement of Thomas Jefferson, who encouraged us all to educate and inform the whole mass of the people, for they are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Ecclesiastes tells us, Alex, that a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And your heart has discerned both the time in which we live and the crisis that we currently all face. The word judgment in that verse comes from the Hebrew word krisis, from which we derive our English word crisis. It denotes an experience and time of crucial testing and has reference to the experience one undergoes out of which a decision or judgment is made. And we all now have a decision to make. Do we want to go along to get along? Do we want to go along with the insanity that has enveloped the planet?
With the TSA putting their hands down our pants, with the radiation, with the GMO, with the wars, with the UN ordering our country to attack and the Congress not involved, the globalists understand these natural laws, and they are testing us and setting these wicked, wicked precedents.
It's all coming down now, Alex, and you've been talking about it for many years. I think I've been listening to you and posting your articles since 1995, the New World Order agenda, the police state, endless undeclared wars, surveillance society, eugenics slash population reduction, economic collapse. It's all happening before our eyes right now.
And that's how history works, my brother, is that everything comes at once. And everything we've seen is only the birth pains, the buildup. Even what we're seeing now is only the buildup. I mean, it's incredible.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. I just want to touch on a couple things here. First of all, this is all happening to us individually because we have not heeded the warnings of history. We have not heeded the words of our wise founding fathers, the words that were spoken at Nuremberg and the words of Eisenhower, who warned us about the military-industrial complex. Abraham Lincoln warned us about the time in which we live in 1864. He said, and I quote, "I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the public is destroyed."
And that's a real quote on record. God bless you. I appreciate your call. And you can see Lincoln two-sided as a tyrant of federal power. But at the same time, he did issue our own currency and was killed over it and was his own man. And again, I'm a Southerner and my ancestors were on the side of the South. It doesn't mean the North was right or the South was right. The British intelligence, this is mainline history, but it's taught in PhD level. It's mainline history books. This is not debatable. British intelligence came in and fomented the South, who was being wronged by tariffs that were unfairly placed on them and not the North. They were manipulated into that war, and the British put, 19,000 troops in up in Toronto, threatening to invade, trying to get the breakup of the country. And then the Tsar had to send his fleet in to threaten the British not to do it, and that caused a big rift that then caused the British intelligence to fund the communists going in many years later in 1917 to overthrow their cousin, Tsar Nicholas. And it's when you know history, you understand all this. James, I'm going to keep you all the way to 30 after, but comments on what the caller Scott just said.
Well, I think he was absolutely right. This is a judgment. This is a crisis. And if there's ever a time for humanity to step up to the plate and take a swing at it, now is the time. And this isn't a game anymore. And there's no sitting on the sidelines. People better understand that the hour is near, and they better decide which side they're on. And I know which side I'm on.
They were neither hot nor cold, so I spit you out of my mouth. Folks, choose a side. Consciously choose what side you're on. Your gut tells you, and I know a lot of you got a tingle right now, and your gut and in the back and the hair on the back of your neck is standing up, because deep down you know the choice is here. A spiritual choice. Doesn't mean we're all perfect, doesn't mean we have all the answers, but just like King David did a lot of bad things, at the end of the day, his heart was right. He was a good person who loved God and loved righteousness. Fake Christianity is about a bunch of judgments and a bunch of Pharisees picking on each other and saying, I'm better than you, and following a bunch of written law instead of getting the law written on your heart. Okay? And number one, it's empathizing with the downtrodden. It's being against aggressive wars. It's being against poisoned food and water. It's being against things that are wicked. Evil is not sexy and cool. It's destructive. And I don't want to get into preacher mode here. It's just, folks, we are so wicked, myself included. We are all immersed in evil. What is evil? It's anti-life. It's that simple. Lovers of death, lovers of lies, lovers of corruption. They were wise in their wickedness, but ignorant when it came to discernment. We're going to come back with James Corbett, talk to...
While the unions are big businessmen and they're going out like a dinosaur. Why they used to grow food in Kansas, now they want to grow it on the moon and eat it raw.
look into HAARP coming up in the next couple segments with Aaron Dykes. We've got some of that 2008 interview with the director of HAARP. His phone wasn't the best. He was from an Air Force base that's in Massachusetts, remotely controlling HAARP in Alaska. They had a PR guy, the colonel, on the whole time. The whole interview is up at Infowars.com, but Aaron's got a lot of audio clips, but I want to just play short parts of it and then go into mainstream news articles showing that we weren't being told the whole story by him, and the weather modification and the fact that Dubai and others are now using HAARP-type arrays to manipulate the weather. They admit that that's what this does now. It's one of the things that it can do. James, I wanted to cram in a few final calls here for you with William, Pam, Barry, Luke, Nick. We'll get to all of them coming up, even if we have to go into overdrive today. But any other points you want to add from Japan?
Well, let me just confirm something that a caller was making on a point that a caller was making a couple of days ago on your program, that the school children here are still playing outside at recess, playing in the rain, and still being served milk every day at their school lunch.
Outside Fukushima, in the little town right there.
Right. Yeah. No, I was just reading reports about the graduation ceremonies they were having at evacuation centers there. And there's no reports whatsoever that any sort of precautions are being taken. And I can report that the kids are drinking their milk every day, just like always. And we know that milk is one of the key transmitters of the iodine-131 radioactivity. So and that was.
But you're a conspiracy theorist. And so are the scientists that made them ship milk in for 6 months after all over Europe from outside Europe. Because of the bioaccumulation, they're all evil conspiracy theorists too. And culture is right. That milk is good.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be drinking it up and loving it. But it's just mind-boggling to me that no one's even thought to point this out or to make any sort of fuss about it. So it's going on right now, and I can report that.
Well, we'll definitely get you to pop in later this week or next week as well as our guy on the ground there in Japan. Let's talk to William in Washington. William, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Alex, my family came here on the Mayflower, too, and we go all the way back. We had both sides on the Civil War, and I got three kids and two grandkids as well. So, I'm watching what's going on here. I'm listening to your show, and I'm really concerned about this situation in Japan. I know that this radiation is cumulative and that it'll build up in our food chain. It'll build up in our bodies, organs, and in our children, and it'll be very nasty down the road. My question is, where's the United Nations on this? Where's our Congress on this? Where's our elected leaders on this? Why aren't they saying to Japan right now, you've got to do what they did with Chernobyl, throw massive amounts of sand and concrete and stop these leaks right now?
What do you think about that, James?
He's exactly right. Absolutely. Suddenly, when there is the need for this type of international agency, they're turning tail and running. And the IAEA chief just came out the other day and said, well, we're not an agency that will deal with crises like these. We're not designed to respond to
crises.
And
by the way, the military is here to protect us, supposedly. They've got assets and NBC assets for nuclear, chemical, biological, all over the Pacific, all over South Korea, all over Japan. And notice, we're not getting any U.S. government readings, and they've got the specialized devices that pick up the exact isotopes and could be giving us pure forecast, but we're having to rely on private universities in France and England to do it.
Absolutely. It just gives the lie to the idea of humanitarian military intervention. If there was ever a time for it, it's here, it's now, but it's not happening. It's happening over in Libya, so we know what that's all about.
Oh, yes, very humanitarian, people. Backing up Al-Qaeda. Let's talk to Pam in Indiana real quick. Pam, you're on the air. Okay, Barry in California, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you very much, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good, good, good. I need to get off speakerphone, right?
Yeah, we got about a minute left here.
Okay. So, I have a very important question. It has several parts, so please bear with me. I'll be concise. Since listening to your radio shows, I haven't gone outside of my house, and I've had all the windows and doors closed, so I need to know the actual radiation levels here in Northern California at any given location, not the low harmless levels that the apologists for the nuclear industry are telling us, and how we can find this out for ourselves. We'd ordered the KI, and we have that now. We're supposed to take 130 milligrams. It sounds like a lot. I don't know when to start taking it.
Don't take it till they, according, I'm not going to give you advice on that. Again, you've got to follow the insert, talk to your physician. But they do have radiation meters at universities and government, and they're not really giving us specific numbers. They're just saying it's low elevations, not dangerous. Dr. Bob Bowman said basically 200 times safe levels. Okay, shifting gears, because we've covered HAARP more than 100 times over the years. Probably 15 times this year so far. But HAARP, the government is very secretive about what HAARP does. And they've got HAARP arrays, not just in Alaska, but all over the world. And it's over-the-horizon radar, it's weather manipulation, and the Secretary of Defense, Cohen, admitted in 97 that they do have earthquake weapons. And there's been a lot of news articles about Australia developing it, Israel. They've got all sorts of different systems. But in the last year, there have been a Mail Online story, London Telegraph, Arabia Business, Abu Dhabi-backed scientists create fake rainstorms. In the Mail Online article, they have government graphics of these big antenna farms that are just like HAARP, same technology, that they admit is for weather modification. And you can scroll down in that article, have scientists discovered how to create downpours in the desert? And then they say, yes, they have. And it shows the graphic of the exact type system they have in Alaska. They also have them in Northern Europe. Russia has them. The Chinese admit they have these and use them. And then they're not sure what it does. They can mess with things locally, that's admitted. But then they don't know the butterfly effect in the whole weather system around the world. And what it does to the ionosphere, all of this. Now, we dug up the interview with the director of HAARP, and it was during the break, so I hadn't heard this in 4 years, that they had this PR colonel come on and break in and say, you can't talk about that. Aaron has done deep research on this and found that what this guy was saying, he did interviews before my interview, we can't find any after. But we found different statements from him in previous newspaper interviews from what was on with us. We planned some clips of it. His audio wasn't the best, and this, we just found a kind of cruddy MP3 of it on the web. I guess we got rid of the high-quality ones that we had. But Aaron, I'm going to try to give you the floor in the limited time to go over this. The point is, HAARP is more than they tell us, because countries have deployed the same technology, the same patents, and admit it's for weather manipulation. Aaron, break it down.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we spoke with Dr. Nick Begich. We went up to Alaska to interview him, and I and Du and Jacobson, all our video editors, have read his book. So we know there's Bernard Eastland patents talking about weather manipulation.
And you've got a special report coming out the next month at PrisonPlanet.tv.
That's right, yeah. And the applications of HAARP for disrupting communication systems, either from the enemy or from the home country, disrupting missiles, et cetera. There's all kinds of uses. And here we have these Air Force Research Laboratory directors, including the guy you interviewed, who claim it's only for research, only for the high-frequency aural research, the aurora borealis type effect. That is all based on the radio frequency ionospheric heating. That's just the catalyst for all the potential uses of this technology. And furthermore,
and it's all in the patents. This is not our opinion.
Yeah, and I've got all these research papers. They're into ELF and VLF waves, which are extremely low frequency and very low frequency, the exact opposite.
Which studies show can also manipulate the human brain.
That's true, and that's what triggers earthquakes, if indeed that is being done, which we know it can be done based on the quote you discussed. And furthermore, it's the opposite of the high frequency, which is associated with the aural effect. And we can read those papers later if you want, but we have the clips. The first clip, he denies that there's any association between HAARP and weather modification. In the other clip, he denies that HAARP has any other, quote, tentacles, and that he's the directorate and knows about everything about the program and that there's nothing secret, et cetera, et cetera. And then you also have a clip where you discuss the aurora effect. That's also interesting.
Nothing secret. They just won't let media in there.
Yeah, and furthermore, Begich's book has this whole report that was produced out of their very Hanscom Air Force Base, which is in Massachusetts, not Alaska, by the way.
That's where he's at.
And they have a whole huge, very large publication, which they claim doesn't exist and can't be released. I could pull that quote if we also want. But
he wrote an article about this yesterday with all this stuff linked in it.
Yeah, but I found even more overnight as well. And if you go to the scientific and scholar part of Google, you can pull up a lot of the stuff with this guy's name. This is an interview, of course, with Dr. Paul Cossey, whose title is Air Force Research Laboratory Space Vehicles Directorate for the HAARP Program. And again, you'll hear him, if you listen to the full interview, claim he's the only director at OverHarp and he knows all the side branches, even though the patent was originally created by Bernard Eastland based on Tesla technology and then transferred through Arco, the energy company, to Raytheon and other secret military industrial.
And there was an interview in the 80s on PBS where the HARP director from that period admitted it could knock missiles out. I mean, we've got the PBS, them admitting it, so.
Yeah, and we even have those. We could pull them up if you want to go into overtime or something. But if you want to get to the clips, the 956 denies weather modification is a good place to start.
Let's roll that clip from 2008.
Weather controller, weather modification.
Well, it has, unfortunately, it's totally off-base. It has no interactions or affects anything with weather systems. Remember, the weather systems are relatively close to Earth, the jet stream and things like that are not all that high up there. We're talking about the HARP energy going up and interacting out in the areas hundreds of miles into space.
This is even going into the Van Allen radiation belt, isn't it?
Well, the radio waves, it's a high enough frequency that can get through the ionosphere, go down into deep space. That's true.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Russians do advertise that they have these radio arrays.
And that's why it's an anti-satellite weapon as well.
Yeah, and as Begich talks about in numerous interviews, it has the potential to be a ground-based Star Wars system. That's the whole point, because satellites can be knocked out by the enemy.
And they admitted this previously. Since it got attention, they now deny it.
Yeah, and one of the applications of HARP is that because satellites can either go out of alignment or be knocked out by the enemy, this would be a ground-based approach that wouldn't rely solely on satellites. But you see, he denies it has weather modification. I have a quote right here from Bernard Eastland's patent, who, of course, developed the HARP technology, but later became a whistleblower and spoke to Begich and Manning, and it's all in their book. The patent number 4,686,605. Weather modification is possible, for example, altering upper atmosphere wind patterns by constructing one or more plumes of atmospheric particles, which will act as a lens or focusing device. And besides that, we know the magnetosphere, the effects of the sun and the moon, all affect weather, which are lower in the atmosphere. Of course, the ionosphere has an effect. When you mess with those ionic particles flowing to the two poles, of course, when you manipulate that, it's going to affect weather.
And that's why they like to build these at poles, because that's the natural gauge right there. They're tying into the stream.
Yeah, because that's where it all flows to those two points, so they can, most easily manipulate it from there.
Continue, Aaron.
You might want to listen to this whole interview if you haven't. It's up on InfoWars, as Alex mentioned. But it's 16 minutes into this clip. You just ask him if there's other areas of HARP, and he says, no, there's no other tentacles.
Let's play that.
I'm trying to honor the civilian employee of the laboratory, and I've been there over 40
years. Talked about a lot of other programs going on, a lot of other directorates and groups. I mean, are you privy to all the programs going on with HARP, or are you privy over one directorate?
What do you mean, the HARP? The HARP is assigned, it is under the director that I'm in, and it has no tentacles or no other wings in other places I'm not familiar with. It's a pretty self-contained program.
So it's one program there, but I know there's a lot of other agencies and things that are there looking at the data, and I guess they get space on the system to run their own test. Or, I mean, how many different agencies are involved looking at the data, doing experiments?
Well, we have there's a joint program, actually, that's set up as a joint program some years ago with the Air Force and the Navy.
Aaron, what's the importance of that?
Well, the importance is they claim there's no secrecy, no other hidden aspects to it, but anyone who tries to investigate HARP is persona non grata. You brought up General Parton?
Yes.
Was involved in the 80s. They denied it on air. Then as you explain at the end of the clip, I don't know if we're going to get to that, you explain how they did come back on air and admit that, yeah, there was a program, but we're not going to talk about that. So it just shows that obviously, there's more going on than, quote, pure research, as he claims in the
statement. Yeah, it was over-the-horizon radar, because he was the head of Air Force Weapons Development. Of course, General Parton's going to be in there.
I'm not denying this guy's a real scientist, but he's clearly a front man in this interview and in other publications, saying it's only for pure research. We have other scientists also from the Hanscom Air Force Base who claim the same thing, that it's pure research, that, oh, well, maybe there could be military applications.
Well, that's like the now partially admitted chemtrail geoengineering program. They go, oh, well, everything we've been doing has been test. But it starts right when our researchers decades ago predicted it did in the mid-90s. It is barium salts, aluminum dioxide. I mean, it's exactly, but they go, oh, it's just research.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's how they play the card, I guess. I think we should move into where you're asking about photometers and their other scientific measurements, which are all supposedly just to study the aurora borealis.
Now, I was going off memory from almost 4 years ago, but I remember, I don't know if it was on air or off air, you've had time to hear the whole interview, I haven't, where he talked about it igniting the upper atmosphere, but you're saying you didn't find that. You found him talking about manipulating it.
Well, they just talk about how the radio frequency particles interact with the charged ionic particles that you find at the poles.
Yeah, see, because I talked to guests during the break to try to get more, and then that colonel kept saying, don't tell him, don't tell him. And then he said, I kept trying to keep him longer, and they said, no, we would have done the hour, but this is over.
Well, look, they've been doing ionospheric heating based on radio frequency. In fact, that's another side part where he talks about Marconi discovering radio. It's kind of a jab at Tesla, who they covered up. The Supreme Court went back and...
No, I know, but you've heard it, because I remember him saying they can ignite the atmosphere. Was that said on air or during a break?
That must have been during break. Cause
what clip do you have, though? Something about that you said you found.
Yeah, it starts at 2916. But the whole point is they've been doing this heating the ionosphere for a while, but through the HAARP patents, they're able to focus it into a focused beam, and that allows them to manipulate it at a greater point.
Let's play that clip.
Photometers, those are optical type devices if the weather's right, so to speak, in space, a space weather, and there's not too much natural disturbances going on like aurora, it's what we call quiet, and on those kind of nights, when we send the radio waves from HAARP up, we can produce miniature emissions of light that are somewhat like aurora things, but they're so weak that if there's any other natural aurora going on, we wouldn't see
it. I understand, and so you observe those. What are magnetometers or magnetometers?
Those are instruments that typically are set out all over the world to measure the Earth's magnetic field, the geomagnetic field that surrounds the Earth. And whenever there's like eruptions on the sun, like a solar flare or magnetic storms, you'll see those magnetic field components there.
That's good right there. So must have been during a break. I remember him saying, well, it can ignite it. And the guy's like, no, don't say that. But there he is saying, but then the patents admit they're doing this.
Yeah. And your story is consistent because in the later part of the same clip from back in 2008, on the same day, you talk about how they interrupted, how they had a PR guy on behind the scenes. I don't know if you want to play that part or just talk about it.
Well, how many other clips we got?
That's it.
Well, let's play that one. Let's play the next clip. Which clip is that for them?
That cues in at 3539, number 7.
All right, let's play number 7. Pardon me? Oh, great. Yeah, we don't have that. They're having to skip through the file. Overall, go through some more of those documents.
Well, here's just some of the papers Well, Heckscher is another guy from the Hanscom Air Force Base who you could see in a clip. There's Paul Cossey, who is the guy you interviewed, also from Hanscom Air Force Base, and other guys. Stimulated thermal instability for ELF and VLF wave generation. Again, that's what they use to trigger earthquakes, if in fact they do that. There is the feasibility and desirability of an Air Force ELF-VLF satellite-to-ground communications link. Now, that's back in 75. That's when they were still, you know, kind of getting the stuff together. But here we are in the 2000s. It's well on its way. It's the same one. Relative attenuation of TMTE waves propagating the Earth ionosphere waveguide.
These are government documents.
These are all government documents, all with Cossey as one of the writers, yeah. There's description of HAARP Gaycona facility with some results from recent research, also with Cossey and Kennedy, who you were going to interview in 2008, but he did not end up coming on. There's high-frequency radar astronomy with HAARP. There's articles about how they reflected off the moon. I have so many here. Scientists detect lowest-frequency radar echo from the moon. So they're bouncing HAARP technology off the moon.
What was that out of?
That was an article from the Naval Research Laboratory published in Space Ref. That's a publication, I guess, public publication. There's a military's mystery machine all about HAARP and how it's, quote, a little bit less ominous. That was in Popular Science, popsci.com. And there's others. It just goes on.
All right, we have that clip now of this clip is when I come back and talk about them telling me, you know, what I could and couldn't talk about.
These are your afterthoughts.
This is the afterthoughts. Here's that clip.
When I got back in town like late last week and he said, told me Friday I set up the director of HAARP. And I'm like, what? You should have heard it behind the scenes, though. They had this PR guy on the line with him the whole time. That's why his phone sounded muffled. And they put off this whole, you know, persona of it's no big deal, it's all above board.
So I guess that's that clip.
And I have no doubt that a lot of it is exaggerated, what you hear on the web, or they combine other programs in with it.
So there's tons of good programs. So, I mean, Aaron, bottom line, you've already written a big article with links. I guess you're going to add these or do another one because it's just like the chemtrails. How many patents have you found about mixing the barium salts, aluminum dioxide in with the jet fuel so the jet companies don't even know and it's designed to disperse the nuclei through the jet engines? I mean, we have just giant stacks of all these admissions.
Yeah, I have dozens if not hundreds of articles, and I found other researchers online who've posted probably about 100 patents that are related in one way or another to cloud seeding, to chemtrails, to different means of dispersion, to the use of, quote, albedos to reflect sunlight, which they claim.
And Bill Gates is obsessed with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has the program to steer hurricanes, and we would pay him to avert disaster. And, you know, it's all the usual players, of course, in the White House. The science czar, John P. Holdren, is involved, who was also involved in SDI, Star Wars programs. And I don't know if he has a connection to HAARP, but I think there's a connection between those three areas, perhaps.
You got a lot of other research there. Closing points on this.
Closing points, there's a PBS documentary where they talk about the weather manipulation. It's contained within the Tesla documentary produced by PBS. There's a CBC interview where they interview the other guy, Hirkshire. So there's a lot of admission here, and you can also see their talking points.
Yeah, they tried to sell it in the 70s and 80s on TV, and we've got all that. And since the 90s, with the critical book written by Dr. Begich, that's when they started denying it.
Yeah, and it's critical that Bernard Eastland used Tesla's technology to enhance their heating of the ionosphere, and that branches out into all kinds of military applications. There's no doubt that there's military applications, and worse.
Worse? As depopulation, mind control? They got a lot of patents on that.
Yeah, and that's all in play. Not that I'm an expert on it, but I agree with Begich that we laymen have a right to weigh in on this.
Absolutely. Globalists are telling us radiation's good for us. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Here's the deal. I cannot do justice to the answer to 1984-1776 contest. It's been so successful. We will publish the winners, first place, second place, third place in the next hour at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Then those folks, I guess we'll put the contest email. We'll need to contact us. I guess we'll contact those channels to make sure it's the bona fide real people. Get their contact back and send you your $10,000 in prize money. But tomorrow I will then on air, you know, go over the winners, but we're going to announce those the next hour on Infowars.com. But I want to be able to do justice to everybody. We've got more on HAARP here in the closing minutes, but Obama rules out land invasion of Libya, just like they call the bombardment a humanitarian mission, not a war. But meanwhile, News 12 ABC reports Camp Lejeune Marines, 2,200 sent to Libya. Possibly for invasion. So we've got all that going on. You've got a clip here from PBS. And this documentary is from the early 80s, correct?
I think it's more recent than that. It's Tesla, the Master of Lightning documentary. And it goes into his plans for the HAARP system.
Okay, there must be another one that Rob has back there that's from the 80s. But let's go ahead and play this clip. Mm-hmm.
The HAARP project evolved from a patent filed in 1987 in which Tesla's work is referenced. It proposed using the ionosphere like an enormous electrical circuit to transmit power around the planet. It even described a means of changing the weather by superheating portions of the upper atmosphere with microwave energy.
Tesla proposed that it might be possible to modify the weather by using radio waves. I believe that this is impossible.
Ionospheric modification is still in its early experimental stages, but microwave technology has already made it possible to transmit wireless power with the use of satellites.
We go to Alaska, and in Alaska there is natural gas. In order to send it somewhere, you have to create a pipeline. That's very expensive. So we said, all right, let's go into Alaska, create microwaves from the natural gas, send them to a satellite at a particular geosynchronous orbit, put a reflector there, and send it to Japan. And in Japan now, you get the antenna, which transforms these microwaves into 60 hertz, and you get electricity. So you make, essentially, Tesla's dream.
Okay, yeah, and Rob's got another older documentary from PBS admitting a lot of that. So there it is. It's in the patents. They clearly are whitewashing and basically covering up the real power of these systems.
Yeah, you see spin in that clip. Of course, military application and, indeed, energy application. We know that stuff is suppressed 30, 40, maybe even 50 years. So I don't expect they're telling us everything up front. There's a lot of interesting potential in the technology, but it really puts us in the hands of a potential scientific dictatorship.
Because it's also being done in secret. Yeah. And that's the whole national security state. Great job, Aaron. Please continue with the great work you're doing.
Thank you.
Two final points here. The Drudge Report has a link to the Jerusalem Post confirming what we told you last Sunday. Al-Qaeda is backing the rebels. That's the Jerusalem Post. Also, update that 15 are dead in new clashes in southern Syria city. That's up on Infowars.com. And Army soldier pleads guilty in deaths of three Afghans, admits that they just killed them. They weren't combatants in cold blood for enjoyment. There's also some drug charges involved. So this just shows the type of stuff that's going on that our military has been advocating. They're only now going to prosecute these guys because they got caught. Aaron, what's your take on that?
It's amazing.
The good guys torture. No, they don't. Don't let them steal America's soul. Not in our name, ladies and gentlemen. Great job to the crew. I'll be back live with a powerful and informative guest tomorrow. We'll continue to track the radiation levels, 1,600 times safe levels in Japan. More of that cloud for the bigger blowouts headed towards the West Coast. Some of the radiation's already blown over and reached Iceland as of yesterday. Retransmission with key info starts now, Infowars.com.